You ever wonder why some people just can't stand being around you? Okay, maybe that's a bit harsh, but let's be real. We all have those habits that secretly make people roll their eyes the moment we walk in the room. I know I do. Today, I'm spilling the tea on awful habits that are making people look down on you. Yes, you. And guess what? I've been guilty of most of these myself. So if you're brave enough to stick around, we're diving in. It's gonna be controversial, brutally honest, and a whole lot of fun. Ready to find out if you're accidentally the worst? Let's go. 1. Gossiping. All right, let's talk about gossip. We all do it, right? Don't lie. I see you there nodding. Whether it's a little workplace tea or spilling about someone's latest relationship drama, it feels innocent enough. And come on, who doesn't love being in the know? It's like we're wired for it. But here's the cold, hard truth. When you're the one dishing out the dirt, guess what everyone else is thinking? If they're talking about so-and-so behind their back, what do they say about me when I'm not around? Yup, gossip creates a cycle of distrust. I found this out the hard way. So, let me be real with you. I used to think gossiping was a bonding experience. Like if I shared the latest scoop, people would see me as fun and relatable. But you know what actually happened? I started noticing people avoiding deeper conversations with me. They'd keep things surface level because they didn't trust me. I became the person who knew everyone's business but didn't have any real friends. Ouch, right? And it's not just that. When you're always talking about others, you're avoiding dealing with your own stuff. It's like this weird distraction from your own issues. The more I focused on what other people were doing wrong, the less I was focusing on what I needed to fix in my own life. Gossiping isn't just harmful to your relationships, it's toxic to you. It breeds insecurity and negativity. Instead of lifting people up, you're subtly tearing them down, and in the process, you're bringing yourself down too. I realized that if I wanted real, meaningful connections with people, I had to stop using gossip as a crutch for connection. So, if you're out here gossiping, thinking it's harmless fun, newsflash, it's not. People notice, they remember, and they definitely start distancing themselves. Trust me, I've been there. And guess what? There's way more power in shutting down gossip than there is in spreading it. Next time someone tries to pull you into the latest drama, try saying, "Nah, I'm good," and watch how fast you start gaining real respect. Because hey, at the end of the day, we all have our own mess to clean up. Let's stop focusing on everyone else's. 2. Being passive-aggressive. Oh, passive aggression. The art of not saying what you mean, but totally expecting people to understand you anyway. You know what I'm talking about. The classic, "I'm fine," with that stone-cold face that says everything but fine. Or when someone asks you to do something and you go, "Yeah, sure, whatever." But inside you're plotting their downfall. We've all been there, and it's like this twisted version of emotional warfare. Now, I used to think passive aggression was this genius way of avoiding confrontation. Like, why argue when you can just drop subtle hints and make them feel bad for not reading your mind, right? Wrong. I learned the hard way that people aren't mind readers, and if they are, they're ignoring those signals on purpose. Real talk, I used to be the queen of passive-aggressive texts. Someone would flake on plans, and instead of just saying, "Hey, that kinda sucked," I'd hit them with a, "Wow, must be nice to be so busy." Or if a friend did something that annoyed me, I'd give them the silent treatment, waiting for them to magically know why I was upset. And you know what happened? No one figured it out. I just looked like an immature drama queen. Here's the thing with passive aggression. It's like emotional dodgeball. You think you're avoiding the problem, but really, you're just hitting people with frustration without giving them a chance to fix it. It's exhausting for you, and it's exhausting for everyone around you. The worst part. It makes people see you as difficult, manipulative, or just straight up childish. No one wants to deal with someone who can't say what they really mean. Passive aggression is a fear of vulnerability, plain and simple. We think we're protecting ourselves from conflict, but what we're really doing is sabotaging our relationships. Instead of saying, "Hey, that hurt," or "I'm upset," because we play these mind games, expecting others to figure it out. And here's the tough pill to swallow. It's not their job to guess your feelings. It's your job to communicate them. I remember the day it hit me. I was in a huge fight with a friend, and I kept giving these passive-aggressive jabs, hoping they'd finally get the point. Instead, they just looked at me and said, "If you can't tell me what's actually wrong, I can't help you." And it hit me like a truck. I wasn't being strong or clever by holding back my feelings. I was just being a coward. Since then, I've made it a point to actually say what's on my mind. Crazy, I know. And guess what? It's terrifying at first, but then it feels so good. When you stop playing emotional dodgeball and start having real conversations, things get better. People respect honesty, even when it's hard to hear. And more importantly, you respect yourself for not hiding behind those passive-aggressive walls. So next time you're tempted to fire off that shady, "I guess that's fine" text, or give someone the cold shoulder, ask yourself, do you want to keep dodging the problem, or do you want to grow up and face it head on? Trust me, life gets so much easier when you stop expecting people to decode your emotions and just tell them what's up. And who knows, maybe they'll surprise you and actually fix the problem. Wild, right? 3. Never taking responsibility. All right, let's talk about a classic, never taking responsibility. You know the type, nothing is ever their fault. Mr. Deadline? Well, it's because the Wi-Fi was down, failed a test, that teacher hates me. And hey, I've been there, I've done that, I was the master of the excuse game. And let's be honest, it feels good to deflect responsibility. Blaming external stuff makes us feel less, well, guilty. It's like a mental get-out-of-jail-free card. But here's the brutal truth. When you're always shifting blame, you're basically screaming, "I can't handle my own life." And people start seeing you as unreliable, immature, and honestly, kind of a mess. I'll give you an example from my own life. Back in school, I was notorious for not doing my homework. But I always had an excuse ready to go. The printer broke, or I had too much work from my other classes, and my personal favorite, I didn't know it was due today. Eventually, one of my teachers pulled me aside and said, "You know, your name, every time you have an excuse, you're robbing yourself of a chance to grow. You'll never improve if you never own up to your mistakes." And man, that hit me like a truck. Because here's the thing, excuses feel safe. They shield us from criticism, from feeling like we've failed. But you know what? They also trap us in this cycle of mediocrity. When you don't take responsibility, you give up your power to change things. If everything's always someone else's fault, how are you ever going to get better? Spoiler, you're not. I realized that my constant excuses weren't protecting me, they were holding me back. Every time I blamed something or someone else, I was avoiding the hard truth that maybe I just didn't put in the effort. Maybe I could have done better. And guess what? That's not a bad thing. Real growth comes from saying, "Yeah, I messed up, and I'm going to learn from it." Responsibility is freedom. When you own your mistakes, you can actually do something about them. I remember the first time I actually owned up to a mistake at work. I missed a deadline, and instead of coming up with my usual laundry list of excuses, I just said, "Hey, I didn't manage my time well. I'll do better next time." And you know what happened? My boss didn't flip out. No one threw me out of the building. In fact, they respected me more for taking ownership. I learned that people don't expect you to be perfect. They just want you to be honest and accountable. But listen, I get it. Taking responsibility sucks in the moment. No one likes feeling like they dropped the ball. But long term, it's a game changer. When you stop making excuses, people start trusting you more, and you start trusting yourself more too. And honestly, isn't it better to own your mistakes than to live in constant fear of being found out? Plus, let's be real, life gets so much easier when you stop juggling all those excuses. No more mental gymnastics trying to remember what your latest excuse was. Just take the hit, learn from it, and move on. So next time you're tempted to blame the dog, the weather, or the universe for your screw-up, try this instead. Own it. It's scary at first, but trust me, it feels so much better in the end. And hey, people might actually start respecting you for it. Wild concept, huh? Now go out there and start taking some responsibility. Your future self will thank you. Fourth, lack of basic hygiene. All right, folks, it's time to address the elephant in the room, or maybe the odor in the room. Yup, we're talking about basic hygiene. And yes, I know this is one of those we shouldn't have to talk about it topics, but clearly we do. You'd think after years of civilization, everyone would have mastered the art of soap and water, but apparently some folks just haven't. Now let's be real. No one wants to be the person that others are actively avoiding because of, a certain smell. But it happens. And look, I'm not here to judge. Okay, maybe a little. But more importantly, I'm here to help you avoid being that person. I'll give you a personal confession. When I was younger, like middle school, I went through a phase where I thought deodorant was optional. I figured, hey, if I don't feel sweaty, then it's all good, right? Wrong. I didn't realize until one day someone kindly, but awkwardly, suggested I try a new brand of body spray. Yeah, that was my wake-up call. Nothing like the horror of realizing you've been walking around stinking up the place to make you rethink your life choices. Trust me, I rushed home that day and stocked up on every product in the hygiene aisle. But here's where it gets controversial. When we talk about hygiene, it's not just about smelling good, it's about showing respect, not just for others, but for yourself. Because here's the harsh truth. If you're not taking care of basic hygiene, people start to question what else you're neglecting. It's like a silent red flag waving, saying, if they can't handle a shower, how can they handle bigger responsibilities? It's not fair, but it's how people think. And it's not just about body odor. We're talking unbrushed teeth, greasy hair, dirty clothes, the whole package. If you're walking around looking like you've just rolled out of bed for the third day in a row, people start to wonder, are they okay? Are they even trying? And here's the deeper part. Sometimes a lack of hygiene can be a sign of something more. Depression, burnout, low self-esteem, it's all connected. When I was going through a rough patch, I noticed I'd skipped the basics, thinking, what's the point? But the thing is, not taking care of yourself physically can drag you down even further mentally. There was a time in my life when I was so overwhelmed with work and stress that my self-care took a back seat. I'd skip showers, throw on the same clothes from the day before, and hope no one noticed. But guess what? People noticed. And it wasn't until a close friend pulled me aside and said, hey, are you okay? You've seemed a little off lately, that I realized how far I'd let things slip. That wake-up call helped me understand that neglecting hygiene was a symptom of a bigger issue. I wasn't taking care of my mental health either. Hygiene isn't just about looking or smelling good. It's a form of self-respect. It's the first step in showing the world and yourself that you value who you are. When you let go of the basics, it's like you're telling yourself, I'm not worth the effort. And that can spiral into deeper feelings of self-doubt. But here's the good news. Taking small steps, like brushing your teeth or washing your hair, can give you that boost you need to start feeling better overall. It's weird how something so simple can have such a big impact on your mindset. So yeah, I get it. Some days, the idea of dragging yourself into the shower feels like climbing Mount Everest. But trust me, once you do, you'll feel like a whole new person. And hey, the people around you will thank you too. It's a win-win. And let's be real, there's nothing more satisfying than that fresh and clean feeling when you step out of the shower. So do yourself and everyone else a favor. Soap up, slap on some deodorant, brush those teeth, and go out there smelling like the champion you are. Remember, good hygiene isn't just about impressing others, it's about taking care of you. So if you're still debating whether or not to hop in the shower today, here's your sign. Go ahead, you'll feel better for it. 5. Constant complaining. All right, let's get real for a second. We all know that one person who just complains about everything. I mean, they could be sitting on a tropical beach, cocktail in hand, and still find something to gripe about. Ugh, it's too sunny. Or, this sand is too sandy. You know the type, right? And here's the thing. If you're sitting there thinking, wait, I don't know anyone like that. Uh-oh. You might be that person. But don't worry. We've all been guilty of it at some point, yours truly included. I went through a phase, especially when I was stressed out, where I complained constantly, and not even about big things. I'd walk into work like, ugh, why is it so cold in here? Or, why is this coffee so bad? It was like I couldn't stop myself. But then one day, a friend straight up told me, you know you complain more than anyone I've ever met, right? And that stung. I didn't even realize how negative I was being. And let's be real, constant complaining is exhausting for you and everyone around you. It's like negativity is contagious, and when you're always focusing on what's wrong, people start to see you as a dark cloud. Worse, they start avoiding you. Trust me. When people see you coming and their first instinct is to duck into the nearest room to avoid hearing another rant, it's not a good sign. Now, here's where this gets a little uncomfortable. Complaining feels good in the moment. It's like venting out the frustration. But the truth is, constant complaining isn't harmless. It creates this loop where you focus only on the negative, and that's all you start to see. It's like you train your brain to ignore anything good happening around you. And if you're constantly bringing negativity to the table, people start to look down on you, thinking, if they're always unhappy, maybe they're the problem. Ouch, right? Here's the deeper issue. Constant complaining is often a mask for something bigger. When I was going through my complaining phase, it wasn't really about the bad coffee or the cold office. It was about feeling overwhelmed, stressed, and not in control of my life. Complaining was an outlet, but it wasn't helping. If anything, it made me feel worse. I was amplifying the negativity in my life rather than finding a solution. I realized that when I focused on complaining, I wasn't solving any problems. I was just broadcasting them. And no one wants to hear a broken record of negativity. So I started doing something wild. Whenever I felt like complaining, I'd stop and ask myself, okay, what can I do about this? If I couldn't fix it, I'd let it go. And if I could, I'd stop complaining and actually take action. It was hard at first, but over time I noticed a huge shift in how people responded to me and how I felt about myself. Here's the thing. Life is always going to throw curveballs. Things are always going to go wrong sometimes. That's just reality. But constantly focusing on what's wrong stops you from seeing what's right. It blocks gratitude. And gratitude, that's the antidote to complaining. The more you practice finding what's good, the less you feel the need to complain. And guess what? You start attracting more positivity. People want to be around you because you lift them up instead of dragging them down. So, if you're finding yourself complaining about everything from the weather to the Wi-Fi, maybe it's time to take a step back and ask, am I actually trying to solve this, Or am I just stuck in a habit of whining? Because let's be honest, the constant complaining, it's not cute, and it's definitely not helping anyone. Next time you're about to drop another complaint bomb, try switching it up. Find something, anything to be thankful for. You'll be surprised how much better you'll feel, and trust me, the people around you will thank you too. Remember, complaining may feel like the easy route, but finding the good, now that's a real power move. 6. Being chronically late. All right, let's tackle a habit that's more common than you might think, being chronically late. You know the drill. There's always that one person who's perpetually running behind. The classic, I'm just 5 minutes away, that somehow turns into 20, or the I'm on my way text that you send from your couch while still in pajamas. Yup, we're talking about those who always seem to be in a time warp. Now, before you start throwing excuses at me, let's get real. I've been that person. I was the champion of fashionably late, except it was never fashion, and it definitely wasn't stylish. It was just late. I thought it was my little rebellion against the clock. Guess what? It wasn't chic, it was just inconsiderate. I used to have a terrible habit of being late to everything. Meetings, dates, family dinners, didn't matter. I thought I was somehow immune to the normal constraints of time. Until one day, my best friend called me out. She said, "You know, being late isn't just about showing up late. It's about showing me that you don't value my time." Ouch. That hit me hard. I'd never thought about it like that. I was so wrapped up in my own time management mess that I didn't realize how disrespectful it was to others. And let's face it, chronic lateness isn't just a personal quirk. It's a major red flag to others. It says, my time is more important than yours. Whether it's a job interview, a dinner with friends, or just a simple meeting, if you're always late, people start to see you as unreliable, disorganized, and yes, a bit disrespectful. And here's a spicy truth. Being late often masks deeper issues. For some, it's about a lack of respect, but for others, it's a way of avoiding commitment or confrontation. Sometimes we're late because we're secretly dragging our feet, or because we don't really want to be there. We think, if I'm late enough, maybe they'll think I'm just busy or something. But what it really does is make people question your integrity and your interest. I had to face that uncomfortable truth myself. I wasn't just late because I had a bad sense of time. I was late because I was scared of facing certain situations. I realized I was using lateness as a buffer, an excuse to avoid being fully present. Once I recognized that, I started working on my time management and being more honest about why I was really avoiding things. Being chronically late is more than just a bad habit. It's a symptom of deeper issues like time management, self-respect, and consideration for others. When you're late, you're not just messing up your schedule, you're showing others that you don't value their time or their efforts. And that's a tough thing to overcome, but it's so worth it. I started setting reminders, planning ahead, and even getting to places early to counteract my lateness. It wasn't easy, but it made a huge difference. People started to trust me more, and I felt better about myself. I was no longer known as that person who's always late. I was someone people could count on. So here's the challenge. If you're the chronically late one in your group, it's time to step up your game. Start small. Set your clocks 5 minutes ahead, plan your outfit the night before, or just leave earlier, and watch how your relationships and your reputation improve. Because let's be honest, being on time isn't just about respect, it's about not missing out on life's moments. So stop playing catch-up and start showing up on time. Trust me, it'll make all the difference. 7. Playing the victim. All right, let's dive into a habit that's a real crowd pleaser, playing the victim. You know the type. They've got a never-ending list of woes, and no matter what happens, it's always someone else's fault. If something goes wrong, they're the first to say, "Why does this always happen to me?" Well, here's a truth bomb. Sometimes it's not the universe conspiring against you, it's your own mindset. Now, before you start getting defensive, I get it. Life throws curveballs, and sometimes it feels like you're the only one catching them. But here's where it gets interesting. Playing the victim can actually be a sneaky way of avoiding responsibility and genuine growth. And let's face it, it's just not a fun vibe to be around. I was definitely guilty of this at one point. I'd moan about how nothing ever went my way. Missed a promotion at work. Oh, it's just because my boss hates me. Relationship troubles? I must be cursed. And guess what? I didn't realize how much I was sinking into this victim mentality until a friend had a heart-to-heart with me. She said, "You know, you always see yourself as the victim, but have you ever thought about how much you're contributing to these situations?" That stung, but it was a wake-up call. And here's the kicker. Playing the victim can become a habit. It's like wearing a cloak of perpetual doom. You start to believe that everything is happening to you rather than for you. It's exhausting for everyone around you and can seriously limit your personal growth. When you're always looking for someone to blame, you're not looking for solutions or opportunities to learn. Here's a spicy truth. Sometimes playing the victim is easier than facing the uncomfortable truths about ourselves. It's a way to dodge accountability. It's way more comfortable to point fingers and say, "It's not my fault," than to look in the mirror and ask, "What could I have done differently?" But let's be real, that's not empowering. It's disempowering. I found this out the hard way. There was a time when I was constantly blaming everyone else for my career setbacks. It wasn't until I started taking ownership of my actions and decisions that things began to change. I stopped seeing myself as a victim and started seeing myself as an active participant in my own life. It was liberating. Instead of waiting for things to get better on their own, I started making changes, setting goals, and actively working towards them. Playing the victim is like being stuck in a hamster wheel. You run and run, but you're not really going anywhere. When you stop playing the victim and start taking responsibility, you break free from that cycle. It doesn't mean that life's challenges go away, but it does mean that you're better equipped to handle them. It's about shifting from a mindset of helplessness to one of empowerment. So, if you catch yourself slipping into that victim mentality, try this. Instead of asking, "Why is this happening to me?" ask, "What can I do about this?" Empower yourself to be the hero of your own story. It's a lot more rewarding than being the victim. Next time you're tempted to play the victim card, remember, you've got the power to change the game. Take charge and watch how your life and your relationships transform. And hey, if you need a reminder, just come back and re-watch this video. I promise, no victim mentality here, just a dose of tough love. All right, folks, that's a wrap. We've gone through some of the worst habits that can make people look down on you, whether it's gossiping, being passive-aggressive, never taking responsibility, skipping hygiene, or, you know, complaining about everything. And hey, if you recognized yourself in any of these, don't sweat it. The good news is, these are habits we can all change. Life's too short to stay stuck in patterns that don't serve us or anyone else around us. Now, I'm not saying you have to be perfect, far from it, but a little self-awareness goes a long way, and making even the smallest changes can have a huge impact on your relationships, your confidence, and how you show up in the world. Plus, let's be real. No one's ever complained about being around someone who's honest, accountable, and smells great, right? So, here's the challenge I'm leaving you with. Think about one habit you could shift this week. Maybe it's owning up to a mistake. Maybe it's putting that negativity in check. Or maybe It's just a quick shower. Baby steps, people. Thanks for sticking with me through this one. If you got some laughs, a little insight, or even a cringe-worthy moment of self-reflection, hit that like button, subscribe, and share it with someone who might need a gentle nudge themselves. We're all in this together. Nobody's perfect, but we can all be better. And remember, next time you feel like gossiping or complaining, just think, what would I say about me? That's usually a pretty good place to start. Catch you next time.